Christmas. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Always a special day when the New England evil cheater Patriots lose. I'm in a happy mood. I have Andrew from the Jets here with me today, our super fan for the Jets. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
I think you know the answer to that question, Mark. So let's just move on to the
next super fan. All right. I also have two other super fans with me tonight. I have Tim, who is the super fan for the Falcons. He's also in a great mood. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great. I'm dabbing on all of the haters right now. So get at me, everybody on Fox who said that Carolina was their lock of the day.
That's awesome.
I feel so good. Then I have
one other super fan with us, Daniel, all the way from England. How you doing, buddy?
Do you know what? The one thing I asked for Christmas was the Falcons to lose this week so that Tampa could go into the Panthers' house and smoke them to stop them being undefeated. And you can't even do that. I mean, I've got all the respect in the world for you, Tim. You're a great man, but you screwed me tonight.
Daniel,
that's what makes me such a great man.
Daniel is the Tampa Bay super fan. We are Next Fan Up. This is the podcast for the fans, by the fans. We cover football. We have two shows a week. We preview all the shows each week on Thursdays. On Sunday night, this is the show you're in right now. We wrap up everything that happened. This is week 16. We are only 1 week away from the playoffs, and there were a ton of crazy games today. So let's just get off started right away. Let's jump to the biggest game. We're going to do New England and the Jets. The Jets pull out this victory in overtime. Andrew, tell me what you saw.
I mean, what I saw was me along with all my other Jet fans in the universe going through the range of emotions that every Jet fan goes through, where you're up 17-3, you're thinking about next week already. It's all right. I mean, you're thinking about next week, but you've had that little sliver where you know that Tom Brady could still come back and make it a game. But watching the first half of this game, it was just insane how much better the Jets were playing than the Patriots. The Patriots weren't able to run the ball, and they had one weapon to throw the ball to in Rob Gronkowski, and the Jets knew that, so they were triple covering him at times and making the other guys beat them. And on the other side of the ball, it's Brandon Marshall was running all over the Patriots secondary, and Bilal Powell was getting yards on the ground. And yet, the Patriots found a way to make it a game, tied the game at 20, and it went into overtime. And then the controversial, not-so-controversial coin toss where the Patriots, Matthew Slater says, we're going to kick the ball to the Jets, and the Jets go downfield in relative ease, honestly, and win the game on a corner route from Decker in the slot to win 26-20.
So you think that that was not a mistake. We were talking about this before we were on air. You think that Belichick wanted to kick the ball in overtime?
Yeah, Belichick actually even said that he wanted to kick the ball. You could read into that many ways. You could read into that he didn't want to throw Matthew Slater under the bus, and that he wanted the ball, and that Slater made a mistake. But honestly, when I was watching the game, as a Jet fan, I wanted the Jets to kick the ball off. The whole game, the Jets defense was playing well. The New England Patriots didn't score an offensive touchdown until much later in the game to tie the game at 20 up. The other score came on a defensive play. Jamie Collins recovered a Fitzpatrick fumble and returned to the end zone. But Brady had one drive, which was the last drive, to tie the game. But other than that, they didn't really move the ball, and I thought the Jets had a big opportunity at forcing a three and out and getting the ball back and then kicking the field goal. Jets got the ball. Fitzpatrick had a little dump off to Inunua, which he ended up running for about 40 yards. Had another big play to Marshall. Then Decker in the slot at the bottom of the screen saw it before the play because they were double covering Marshall at the top of the screen, so they left Decker in single coverage. And just like the first game, Decker burnt his man. I'm not sure who was in coverage, but I really hope it was Malcolm Butler because that would just be that much sweeter. And the Jets won the game. I actually think this game says more about the Jets than it does about the Patriots. The Patriots are going to be healthy in a couple of weeks with Edelman and Amendola coming back on offense. But the Jets are winning these types of games now. Like Todd Bowles has been talking about it. These past couple of games, either against the Cowboys or this Patriots game, they're winning their close games in the Giant game, especially the Giant game. They're winning their close games while earlier in the year they were losing them. And along with the Steelers' loss, the Jets are in playoff position, which isn't something I thought I'd be saying, even though I did pick the Jets to win this game.
Yeah, I think, and it was impressive, is it was not only Fitzpatrick, but the play calling was so strong there at the end. I thought that play that Fitzpatrick threw, you'd be able to know, Andrew, who dropped that ball. He was open, and you guys really shouldn't even have gone into overtime. Who was it that dropped that ball that was, like, really nicely placed, kind of the go route in the slot on the left?
Yeah. It was Inunua, who has had a very surprising year. One of the few good picks that John Idzikka has left us with. He's a 6'2", big guy. He's very fast. He's actually been our de facto tight end this year. The Jets have targeted the tight end the least amount of times of any team in football this year. And Inunua is basically their guy because he blocks and he runs these routes, like these little drag routes toward the sidelines. And that's what it was. It was sort of a design pick play that freed him up on that play in overtime. The outside receiver didn't make contact, so it was actually legal, unlike the ones other teams usually run. But it was just perfectly timed. Inunua got the ball, ran down the field. But, yeah, Chan Gailey, I was talking to my friends about this. When is my fellow Jets fan friends, the last time the Jets have an offensive coordinator that we can trust? I really can't remember. Maybe in like the time like of a of Mike Heimerdinger, I mean, this first year there with Pennington, maybe he's that guy. But like since then, we had Brian Schottenheimer, Tony Sperano. Like it's just been chaos. But it seems like the marriage of Fitzpatrick and Gailey is leading to big things. And an AFC in which there isn't really a team that you look at and you're scared of, the Jets could really do something in January if they hold on against Rex Ryan next week in Buffalo.
I think you're going to be in the playoffs, and I would love to see you go up into New England and beat them again. It would be amazing. Those three plays on that in overtime were incredible. Those guys were wide open. They were big plays, and Fitzpatrick executed them perfectly. I'm very impressed, man. That is an awesome win. Is there anything else you want to add, Andrew, before we move on?
I am contemplating making the trip up to Buffalo next weekend to see this game.
Nice.
But I'm so worried about what could possibly happen if the Bills win this game and I have another six to eight hour drive back to New York City. I'm dreading it. I think it's meant to be that I don't go to the game, and then the Jets will pull it out because I just can't leave myself open for that Jetsian gut punch that seems to follow every time week 17 comes up on the calendar.
I think you're going to be fine. We beat them, and the Eagles are not very strong, and we beat them pretty easily. They were struggling today. I mean, they ended up pulling it out against Dallas, but they were struggling against the Dallas team that is not very strong. Shady didn't play today. I don't know if Shady's going to be back by next week, but I think you guys are going to be fine. We'll see how it goes. You decide if you want to go or not, but I think you're going to be fine. Moving on to the next game, we're going to start on our Thursday night, San Diego, Oakland. Daniel, you had a chance to watch this game. Obviously, Oakland pulled it out in the end. What did you think?
Well, this game all seemed to be about Charles Woodson. It was last game at home, and they got some trick players in there, which were nice to feature him in front of the fans for the last time. But the real story was just the Chargers are crap. I mean, outside of Rivers, they can't really move the ball efficiently. I mean, Gates is probably going to be gone after this year. Floyd's probably going to be gone. They haven't got the weapons, but he somehow puts up numbers every week. But the Raiders, I mean, they keep on showcasing that young talent, especially on the defense. I was so impressed with that defensive line. You know, Mack, they've got Autry, Edwards, and Dan Williams, and they just got after the quarterback all game long. And if they can build around that core, you know, the triplets they've got on offense now in Murray, and they've got Amari Cooper and Derek Carr. If they can really build around that, get that offensive line really solid, then they're probably going to end up 8-8 this year. And that's a real platform you can use for next year. I mean, they pulled it out in an OT against the Chargers at home. And next year, I think they're going to really showcase those offensive weapons.
Yes, for sure. I'm excited to see where Oakland goes. I think the arrow is definitely pointed up and they're going in a good direction. Another game, this was sad for me, Washington-Philly. We lost to Washington. They totally decimated us. They really beat us. They deserve the division. They're clearly the best team, I think, in the NFC East. Cousins has come alive. I think he's a very strong quarterback, and he's showing that he can do a great job. We had a ton of mistakes in the game, the Eagles. I think everyone in Philadelphia today really hates DeMarco Murray. He had a horrible fumble on a pitch that they just easily ran in for a touchdown. That's really when the game started to fall apart. People ask about Bradford. I really have faith in Bradford. I have faith in Chip Kelly. I think Bradford played a great game. He's gotten better all year, and he was hitting guys consistently in the hands, and they were dropping the ball. And I've always felt this since I was a kid. In the NFL, if it touches both of your hands, there's no excuse. You catch that ball. If it touches one of your hands, you should catch the ball. But if it touches both of your hands, there's no excuse. You're a professional. You get paid millions of dollars to catch a ball. Catch the ball. So we had Ertz dropping balls, the racist Cooper dropping balls. I mean, just all over the place, just horrible hands. Even Jordan Matthews, Huff, Aguilar. I mean, every single receiver was responsible for this at some level, and Murray as well with his bad hands. That's really what the story came down to. We're just not together enough to do well. I'm really happy we've won some big games. We beat the Patriots earlier. We had some nice games this season. But in the end, we're going to get decent draft position. I hope we lose next week against the Giants, and we can be in the top, 10 to 15 picks would be great. We'll see how it goes. I, for one, hope Chip Kelly sticks around. We'll see how this offseason goes. If there's anybody that wants DeMarco Murray, we will take a seventh-round draft pick. You don't even have to give us that. We'll take like a stick of gum. Just take DeMarco Murray and that horrible contract off of our plate. I wish so badly now in retrospect. It's so easy to look back. But if we had not signed Murray, let Dallas keep him. That's fine, even though it was great to see them totally fall apart without him this year and with us crippling Romo. But if we could let them keep Murray and use that money to sign Macklin, we would have been far better off. Macklin is the only player that Chip has gotten rid of that I really miss. Kerry Williams went to Seattle, and he's not even playing anymore. Any of the linemen, Harriman's and Mathis, went off, and they're not doing very well. Mathis is playing a little okay. And then Shady, I don't miss at all. We shut him completely down when we played them last week. Just a real bummer that we weren't able to pull it out, but I think Washington deserves it, and I'm excited to see what they can do in the playoffs. As Seattle is struggling, I think that's who they're going to face, and there's a good chance they could beat Seattle. We'll see if it happens, but Washington plays strong at home. Cousins is on fire. Jordan Reed is one of the best tight ends in the league. I mean, I don't know where exactly he stands, but Jordan Reed is that dude's amazing. We were not covering him well at all, but even if we were, I think he would have been lighting us up. Tim, you had one of the best games of the year for you. You beat the undefeated Carolina Panthers. What happened in this game? What are you thinking?
From the start of the game, we kick off, and I don't know why we do this every time. We always win the coin toss, and we kick off. It doesn't matter who we're playing. And as soon as I see that, I'm just like, cool, we're going to be down 7-0 to start this game. We're a come-from-behind team. And if you follow me on Twitter, I'm joking about that with people. There's actually a pretty strong Falcons Twitter community. And, I'm like, ha-ha, we're a come-from-behind team. It ended up being right. But, I mean, that first drive, Carolina just drives down, and Cam Newton walks into the end zone. And I'm just like, here we go again. It's just like a couple weeks ago when they – destroyed us, 38-0, and I'm thinking we have the same thing going on again because they had like a 9-play, 5-minute drive and we didn't stop them at all. We actually got the ball next drive and scored, really thanks to Peanut Tillman fighting with Roddy White over who got the better AARP discount, but we'll take the 15-yard penalty on third down, and that actually converted that third down for us to where we could drive down the field and score. And realistically, I think that's what the game hinged on right there, because without that, we're in trouble. It wasn't a beautiful game by any means. Cam Newton was really bad today. Didn't look like the MVP that Fox kept calling him. And oh my God, if you would have played a drinking game where anytime somebody said MVP or undefeated season, you would have been dead by the end of the first quarter. it was a super fun game. And on both sides, both teams were making really good plays and that sort of thing. But realistically, the Falcons just outplayed them. I mean, we only punted once, and you know that's impressive when you're a team like us. Yeah, we did have the one really, really bad turnover where Mike Person just snapped it over, you know, Matt Ryan's shoulder, and you know we ended up losing like 25 yards and the ball right there. But you know, overall, it wasn't bad, and you know the defense didn't break. You know, they bent a little bit, but then you know when it came time to get the big play, they were able to do that. And the front four looked really good. You know, getting after Cam Newton today. You know, even towards the end, where I really thought the refs were trying to give the game to Carolina because it was just like ticky-tack penalties getting called on us to stop the clock. And you know, I mean, we got the ball with like, you know, a minute 50 to go, and we ended up giving it back to them with like a minute 30. So, you know, I was really fascinated there, but, you know, Vic Beasley, you know, earning the first overall pick from us, first pick for us, you know, and getting there and getting the sack fumble on Cam Newton to finish the game. And I'm going to throw this out there, and I argued with Sam a little bit about it, but Julio's catch today is better than Odell Beckham's catch because there's no way that Beckham could have got up over Kuechly and the defensive back to catch that ball, keep his balance, and score. So Julio Jones, best catch in NFL history right there. Look at it. It's amazing. I broke my desk when he caught it because I jumped up, and so I've got to make a trip to IKEA. Hopefully Julio will meet me there and buy me a new desk. That would be dope. But overall, it was super fun. Like I'm probably going to watch that game again later before I go to bed and have really, really good dreams.
So with you saying that Cam didn't look like the MVP, do you think Carson Palmer deserves it over him at this point? I mean, Carson had a great day. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I still think you have to give it to Cam. I mean, this has been one bad game. Like, legitimately, he was, 17 of 30 for 142 yards and, you know, rushed seven times for 46 yards. So he was good on the ground. But through the air, I mean, he only averaged 4.7 yards, you know, per completion. So, I mean, a 69 quarterback rating. So that's an MVP number there. But, you know, I mean, overall, I still think you have to give it to Cam. Like, Cam has been the best this year. And, you know, you take him away from Carolina and they're nothing. You take Carson Palmer away from Arizona. Last year, they were still able to win games without him. So, I think you still have to give it to Cam. And I still think Carolina's the best team in the league. They just had a bad game.
Yeah. Could you imagine Cam with those weapons that Carson has? I mean, it would be unreal.
If Kelvin Benjamin didn't get hurt in the preseason?
Yeah, totally.
Like, he has the weapon. The weapon just tore an ACL, like, right off the front. So.
Yeah. No, very interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Daniel, you had a chance to look at another big upset today. I didn't see this game at all. I don't know how this happened. How did Pittsburgh lose to Baltimore?
I think this is one of the most shocking results today because the Steelers, everyone was talking about they're really hot going into the playoffs. This offense is rolling now. You know, Antonio Brown's actually catching balls because Mike Vick isn't throwing them to him. But today, I have to credit that Ravens defense. They did a pretty good job of – they got Jimmy Smith on Antonio Brown. They, I guess, limited his overall impact, but it was just Roethlisberger made a few bad decisions. I mean, he threw two picks. Jimmy Smith even took one to the house when the Steelers were inside the Ravens 10, but there was an offsides penalty, which called it back, which he was not happy about. But it was a game of the Ravens knew they couldn't run the ball whatsoever. So they said, hey, Ryan Mallett, let's go and throw the ball. And surprisingly, he threw it 41 times and he completed, I think, around 60% of those balls. It was a close game. It was 17-20. But the Ravens just did enough. The defense kept them in it. The Steelers were actually down quite a bit until the end of the game, and they came back and they had the ball at the end, but just couldn't get it done. So I think it's just poor decision making. But the result of that is they are at the moment out of the wild card, thanks to the Jets' miraculous win, which I'm sure Andrew is over the moon about. And their chances of getting in now are hanging by a thread. So this is a really, really bad loss for the Steelers.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that might be the most shocking game. I would have never, ever picked Baltimore to lose today. Because even the Jets, they're, you know, they're a team coming close to the playoffs. It made sense they were going to at least compete with the New England Patriots. They usually put up a fight. But this, I mean, Baltimore has looked so bad the last month to 2 months, really all season, but they've looked especially bad recently. For them to beat Pittsburgh, unbelievable. We'll see where we go in the playoffs. But I just think all of a sudden a lot of teams that looked like very strong, you now see that like this playoffs could be crazy. Any of these teams could go out at any time. Maybe the only team is the Cardinals that I have full faith in. It's like, no, they're going to the championship game, and they're going to have at least a shot at the Super Bowl. I don't know if they're going to make it, but they will be one of the teams that is in the Final Four. You know, I really believe that about the Cardinals. And everyone else, I don't know who I can say that about. Speaking of two teams that will definitely not be in the Final Four, I watched the Dallas-Buffalo game. But Dallas is so pathetic at this point. It's not even, I don't even get happy watching them lose. I actually was rooting for them today. I would have loved to see them beat Buffalo, and they kept it a game for a while. But eventually Buffalo was able to pull out and get the win. The big difference here is that Moore, who is the, if you don't know, the quarterback for Dallas, since they've lost so many quarterbacks this season, Moore went 13 for 31. I'm pretty sure that's not 60%. That's far below 60%. He had 186 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. That's really, you know, just not going to win. You're not going to win in the NFL. That's why you only have 6 points. Tyrod Taylor also only completed 13 passes, but he only tried to throw 18. So he had a much better percentage. He had less yards, 179, and also had no touchdowns and interception, but they were able to run a lot on Dallas today, which is impressive because I think Sean Lee is one of the best linebackers in the league, and he usually is very good at shutting down the run. But when your pass game is not doing anything all game, obviously they were just on the field too much, and eventually with three different running backs that were not shady, they were able to just run all over them today. I think Buffalo is going to lose next week against the Jets, and obviously Buffalo is not going anywhere anyways. But, yeah, very interesting, not really exciting game to talk too much about. Another game, Tim, we're going to hit a couple games here that are a little bit clunkers. The two mighty teams, San Francisco-Detroit, you got to check this game out. Was there anything worth talking about here, Tim?
I didn't watch it. looking over, like, you know, the recap, that sort of thing. I mean, good for the Lions. You know, they've been relatively decent since the benching of Matthew Stafford. So doing that was, you know, obviously a good call. But the Niners are just such a mess. And I feel bad for their fans. You know, like everybody retired in the offseason. And then in the regular season, everybody broke, like, or just quit. And it, you know, it's kind of a bummer. Like, you think about it. They were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and now like they're 4-11 and losing to the Lions. Like, that's bad. So, you know, I mean, anytime you have Blaine Gabbert as your quarterback, although he wasn't really bad today, 225 yards and two touchdowns, like, would have been a better fantasy option for me than Matt Ryan. And if I would have started him, then chances are, you know, I wouldn't have lost to Sam in the next fan up fantasy football league. He did tell me that I need to tell everybody that he won. So good job, Sam. Still hate you. good job picking up David Johnson off of waivers. That worked out. Though he did chicken out. He said he was going to leave Odell Beckham Jr. in his lineup today. He got nervous and dropped Odell Beckham for Reuben Randall tonight. So, ha, well, at least I have that. I didn't give up on my, I didn't give up on my favorite players because I got scared towards the end. Now, in his defense, there was no to get scared towards the end because I was never in this matchup. But I mean, overall, I mean, Niners Lions, like, was it even on TV, like in San Francisco or Detroit? Because I don't even think I saw a highlight from this game. It was just, you know, overall, probably just really, really bad.
Yeah, I think San Francisco might have the worst ownership. It was always Al Davis for a long time. It was just such a really – towards the end, I think Al did some great things back in the 80s. But, you know, in the last couple decades, he just really was ruining that team. And even after he died, it took a couple years for them to turn it around. The San Francisco, I think, if I had to vote, has the worst ownership in the league. Just totally wretched. The Yorks are bad, bad people. And they're talking about their – I at least saw an article that they may be up for sale. That would be the best – possible thing that could happen to the Niners right now. Somebody else, some Googleite, some big rich person who's in the Silicon Valley right now needs to buy that team, make them the most like technically advanced team in the league, where you go to the stadium and it's like going into the Tron game and you just have an amazing experience with your phone, and the team would be great. It's really the place for it. They could be at the forefront of all that. What is the player experience technically when they're at the game? And I'm waiting for that to happen. But right now it's just an owner who runs great coaches off to college and watches as half the team retires. Just so bad. Daniel, you had a chance to watch another game, which was closer than I was expecting. Cleveland put up a fight in KC today. What did you see?
Well, these Chiefs are another team that I was quite looking forward to watching, along with the Steelers. They were the ones everyone's been talking about, making that push for the playoffs. And it was a lot closer than I thought. And it really shouldn't have been, because Alex Smith was pretty efficient. He ran the ball. I think he had a 40-odd yard run. He was hooking up with Maclin and got stuff going with Kelsey as well. But the defense came to play. I think it was... Manziel looked absolutely horrible, but made a few plays and somehow kept them in it down the stretch. They scored a touchdown and actually had the ball at the end if time hadn't run out. But basically what came out of this game was Marcus Peters is unbelievable. He is, I know Tim keeps on going on about Trufant, his baby crush down there in Atlanta, but I think Marcus
Peters... Desmond Trufant is the truth.
He is... Truth. Do you know what? I know you love Trufant, but I just don't see it. He gets lucky.
What do you need to see?
Game.
He gets lucky? He held Ted Ginn to one catch on 9 yards
Ted
today.
Ginn. Right, Ted Ginn is really good this year.
Also, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Desmond Trufant has allowed the third least receptions in the league this year. That's a stat that should count on plays where he's lined up against somebody. He's given up like 26 completions.
Yeah,
in 15
games.
What do you need to see? I'm coming at you with numbers. You sound like my dad when we're talking about politics. What do you need to see, Dad?
Tim, weren't you guys behind in almost every game this season? Weren't teams running on you more than having the
pass? Fault. There's more. There's 11 players on the defense. And the other guys are really bad. All right.
Fairness, do you know what? Cam
Newton the past 7 years, and now everybody's like, "Oh man, Carolina! Like if they could only give Cam Newton something, they finally give him something." And everybody's like, "Oh, he's the MVP! Oh yeah, Cam Newton's the best!" And then it's like, what happened? We gave him an offensive line. All right, so now you give Desmond Trufant a pass rush, and showed up today. He gave up one catch. So I don't care what you were saying. I wasn't even really listening. I just heard you attack Desmond Trufant, and I defended him.
Do you know what? Do you know what's crazy? You watch that Panthers game today. You cannot rush the passer a lick. So all you do is you send four. Everyone else just goes into coverage. So he's got so much support there. He doesn't even need to shut anyone down. He just casually waits, and then someone kind of makes a play at some point.
I hope the next time you're in a bar talking to a girl, Desmond Trufant shows up and shuts you down.
I would juke him and go get another beer.
You would juke him and go get another beer? Okay. All right. You're drunk. You're drunk. I hate this podcast. I might not be here next year. I can't even contemplate people. I almost said a bad word. People crapping on Desmond Trufant. All right. Like, the NFL knows he's good because they made him a Pro Bowl substitute. All right, the fans don't recognize it. They need to take the Pro Bowl away from the fans, give it directly to the NFL because they understand who's actually good. It's ridiculous that Patrick DeMarco didn't get in there. He's been the best fullback this year, bar none. And Desmond Trufant is amazing. I'm sorry that when we drafted him, I was really upset because I wanted Xavier Rhodes because he was bigger. But, yeah, I mean, Xavier Rhodes has been decent this year. But Desmond Trufant is next level. And if he played in a bigger market – you'd hear about him as much as you hear about Revis.
Are you ready for this? I'm gonna come at you, Tim. I'm gonna come at you. I'm on Pro Football Focus right now, and he is the 9th ranked cornerback in the league.
That's
not
pretty
even
good.
Five.
That's no. Don't come at me with not top five. How many corners start? All right, at least 3 for every team. So that's 96 corners. He's in the top 10%.
I'll take him. I'm impressed.
Yeah, but you talk about this guy like he's the next coming of Neon Deion.
Send me that link. Send me that link right now. All right, I want to see who's ahead of him. I'm on Slack. I'm waiting for you, Dan. Who do you say is better than Desmond Trufant?
Darius Slay is ahead of him. Darius Slay.
Yeah, because nobody throws against him. It doesn't matter. We're already up by 100 because Darius Slay plays for the Lions, I think. Like, I can't even – I'm so angry at you right now.
Nick is
Marcus
sitting there.
Marcus Peters is the back corner about Grimehav and Desmond Trufant.
Where is this?
Where is Peters ranked? Is Peters on there?
I'm not. I don't subscribe to Pro Football Focus.
And also, okay. And whoa, just quickly, Mark, just quickly. His worst game, Desmond Trufant, this year was against Tampa Bay, where he went against Mike Evans. Game, set, and match. Anyway.
How's that game, set, and match? How?
Because Mike Evans is the truth.
No, Mike Evans is a chump. He's a chump.
Mike Evans got Johnny Manziel a Heisman Trophy. He should be made president for that.
No, he shouldn't, because he made Johnny Manziel relevant. So now we know who to blame for Johnny Manziel. It's Mike Evans' fault. Everybody who's tired of hearing about Johnny Manziel, yeah, it's Mike Evans' fault. I'm yelling in my apartment, which is tiny, and I know my neighbors can hear me right now, and they're probably like, what the hell is that guy going on about? I'm going on about your disrespect of Desmond Trufant. All right? Stop it. Did Mike Evans make the Pro Bowl? No, he didn't. Desmond Trufant did.
Let's get back to Marcus Peters.
Yeah, let's come back to the Chiefs, just quickly.
How do we even get to
so
this?
Marcus Peters so, pretty good.
Yeah, Marcus Peters had an unbelievable game. Their defense is just ridiculous. You know, Harley Houston, you know, Derek Johnson. They're going to be really difficult to play against in the playoffs. Now, if they can get Chandarius West going, along with that defense and Alex Smith being nice and efficient, I think they could. I think they've got a shot at the Super Bowl with the Patriots really falling off.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, they'll be in the fight for sure. KC's just in the AFC. I feel like it's wide open, and they've not stumbled like a lot of the other teams have, although they let Cleveland get closer than they should have probably today. I watched a game with two teams, also not going to be anywhere near the playoffs, Indianapolis, Miami. Indy won 18-12. The only really big thing to say here, Tannehill had a good day, even though they lost. 26 for 38, 329 yards. He did throw an interception. The real problem, I think, in Miami is Miller. Sometimes Miller's a real running back. Today, he was 15 for 31. That is so gross. That is like, I don't even, why are you still running the ball if you can't go more than 2 yards in a run?
Know. In his defense, it seemed like the offensive line just quit, like, several times. Like, the last play where Tannehill legitimately had a shot to, like, win the game, did anyone block for him at all? Because he looked like they were just like, you know who we hate? Our coach and Ryan Tannehill.
No, it was a rough game. Indianapolis had two different quarterbacks, both of them throwing about 500. Hasselbeck went 8 for 15. Whitehurst went 9 for 14. Gore had a pretty decent day, 15 for 85 and 2 touchdowns. That's basically how they won the game. But this is neither of these teams are going anywhere. It was pretty boring game. So let's move on to another game. This is your big game, Daniel. Can you tell us about some Mike Evans? You lost to Chicago. But how did it go? What did you see in the game?
Go Chicago, go.
Yeah, let's not talk about Mike Evans in this one because he didn't do anything. This was just, it wasn't as close as it looked at all because Winston got a Hail Mary at the end to Austin Seferian Jenkins. But it was just, it was a typical Bucs game. Some players really contributed. Charles Sims was good, but Doug Martin kept on coughing up the ball twice. Today, and you can't win turning the ball over. But a John Fox team, you know what you're getting. They're going to be really well coached. They played tough on defense. Langford controlled the clock, and Cutler was efficient. He completed 20 out of his 27 passes, so they kept on staying on the field on third down, and we couldn't convert a third down to save our life. Winston is a typical 50% passer, and what that basically means is you can't sustain drives over long periods. So when the Bears got out to a bit of a lead in the third quarter, we just couldn't carry on putting the ball up. There's no Vincent Jackson in sight. So Mike Evans, as good as he is, you've got to give the guy some help. There's no other receiving options. Humphreys is a so-so slot receiver. He's like Cole Beasley light. Austin Seferian Jenkins hasn't been healthy all year.
Cole Beasley is Cole Beasley light.
Can you get any lighter skinned than Cole Beasley?
Cole Beasley is like a rolling rock on ice. after an hour and a half in the sun.
And Adam Humphries is doing his best Cole Beasley impersonation and still failing.
I've never heard of him.
Exactly. Why
are we talking about him?
We're talking about him because he's not very good and we have no wide receiving options whatsoever. So we're going to have to go to the draft again and draft the next Michael Clayton, who I am still disappointed that he didn't pan out. Chicago...
Oh, go ahead. I was going to ask, in the offseason now, you know, as you guys are headed to the offseason, I think of you guys similar to Oakland, right? Like a team that's all, I think you're on your way up. I like Winston. Yeah. I like where he's headed. And I think if you build around him, he'll be fine. What are your top priorities in this offseason? What do you want to see addressed?
To be honest, it should have been the offensive line. We addressed that last offseason. And they've actually overperformed this year. So, I mean, defensive line, despite the fact you see, if you were to look at just the numbers, you'd think, yeah, we got to the quarterback quite well this year. But we haven't done it consistently enough. And then also on the back end, we have no cornerback. When Sterling Moore is your best cornerback, you know you got problems.
He's no Desmond Trufant.
He is. Yeah, he's no Marcus Peters either. Yeah, we need the next Marcus Peters. And I think if we could go to the draft and get some help. Also, safety. I mean, just the whole secondary, just rip it up and start again, I think. Winston will grow. So just secondary, just attack it.
Yeah. Secondary play across the league has been really bad this year. A lot of positions that needs help, but safety, I find, is a position very hard to find these days. And I think it's just what we expect of a safety is different than what it's ever been before. Now you have to cover people like Gronkowski as a safety, and that's a tall order. And also come into the box and stop the run when we need it. So it's tough, and people don't want any strong safety, free safety anymore. They want guys who can do both so that they can be, you know, easier to disguise. It's a tough order. And then I think with all the rule changes, being a cornerback in the league, man, they really have the deck stacked against them. So these are tough positions to find. Anything you want to say about Chicago, Daniel, before we move on to the next game?
I'll be interested to see next year how they use Cutler. There are rumors of Adam Gase actually getting promoted. I don't know if I'm misreading that, but I think there were some rumors. I don't know if it's health related with John Fox, but Jay Cutler came out in the media and said that he would actually support Adam Gase getting the head coaching job. So he obviously has a good relationship with him. And if they can carry on building around the running game and just getting him to manage it and build that defense to complement it, I think they'll be pretty tough to play against next year.
Yeah, I got into a little Twitter battle this week with Tom, our super fan for Chicago. He wrote an article about how Chip Kelly is falling apart and like he's not doing a good job and all this stuff. And I'm like, what? Tom, can you really write this as a Chicago Bears fan? Like, Chip Kelly has had our team relevant for 3 years. We've been in the playoff hunt. When was the last time the Bears were anywhere close to the playoffs? And then he's questioning Bradford. And I'm like, you have Cutler. I don't know. Just very strange. I'm like, oh, I'll take Chip Kelly and Bradford over Cutler and John Fox any day of the week.
Cutler can make all the throws. He always has done. He can run with his legs. It's just he makes dumb plays.
I think he has a horrible attitude. He's like a wet blanket. I don't think anybody in the locker room likes him. Like, I don't think anyone would ever want to hang out with him. I just think there's no leadership.
I'll hang out with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, he can throw the
ball. Yeah, I would hang out with Jay Cutler.
Really?
Me and Jay Cutler would run this town. I bet Jay Cutler's a great wingman. Like, for real.
I think Cutler's one of the worst quarterbacks. He's one of those
out there. Jay Cutler, if you're listening,
he ruins so many games.
Next time you're in Atlanta, give me a call at Tim is Hiding. Tweet at me. I'm not giving my phone number out on this. That's a stupid decision. We're gonna party. We'll start at someplace classy, and then we're gonna finish the night crying in each other's arms at the Claremont Lounge. Let's do this thing. I'm down. Like, I got Cutler. No disrespect on Jay Cutler. I want to hang out with Jay Cutler.
I'll throw this out, Cutler. I know you're probably gonna be out of work next year. You come over my house. We'll take care of you, buddy. You can, like, I don't know, clean dishes or something. Houston, Tennessee. I watched this game. Another game that was just horrible. Two teams, who cares? Houston destroyed Tennessee because they don't have Mariota. There's really nothing to say here. It's just really a game that like we shouldn't even be watching. But Houston is obviously the better team when Tennessee doesn't have Mariota. I'm curious to find out what's going to happen if Mariota comes back with some health next year and they can build around him. But they have so many holes. Tennessee has so much work to do. Houston, yeah, they took care of it today, 34-6. They had a very good game. But there's not a whole lot to talk about here. Tim, you watched another game. Not really wonderful. We have two at the end that will be fun. Let's knock this out. Jacksonville, New Orleans. Anything interesting here?
Why did you assign the Saints game to me? They're like my least favorite team. Like, why would you do that to me? Like, I'm having to sit in my apartment and watch this stupid game where the Saints were up 21-0 at one point. Like, this was just mean. And I was playing against Tim Hightower in one of my fantasy leagues, so I'm just seeing him just gash me in, like, the one that I thought I legitimately had a shot in. So it was, like, just rude of you to do this. Also, Blake Bortles was on my team in that league, and he's just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw an interception that hits my wide receiver in the mouth and then bounces back and gets picked off by a defensive end who's a rookie and has no idea what he's even doing downfield. Yeah, no, this game was stupid, and it was out of hand really early. Like, both of these teams are garbage. No one was even there. Like, I don't understand how it was broadcast nationally. Like, whoever, you know, likes the Saints in New Orleans must have bought out all of those tickets because legitimately there was nobody there, which was surprising to me because this is Drew Brees' last game in New Orleans. They're not going to re-sign him. He's a billion years old, and yeah, he had a good game, but, I mean, he doesn't have it in him for, you know, it to be like a, you know, big money investment for them, and he's not going to take a hometown discount because it's not his hometown. So, I don't know. Yeah. This was a stupid game. I hate the Saints. We're going to beat them next week. And, you know, let's go Giants right now because the Falcons are going to make the playoffs.
Nice, nice. Daniel, you got to watch an awesome game that did not come out as awesome as people thought. There was not really a competition here, but I think we learned a lot. Green Bay, Arizona, what did you see?
Well, what we learned was Arizona are rolling. It was all about momentum going into the playoffs. And they just crushed the Packers. I did not see it coming. I thought Lacy would keep the game kind of close, but it got to the point where the Packers had to take Rodgers out of the game because he got sacked 8 times, and you got to see the future Scott Tolzien come into the game. But they just couldn't get anything going. He was under pressure all game. The Cardinals scored on 2 turnovers, 2 fumble returns. But they just have an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver. And even add Johnson into the mix out of the backfield. They have so many ways to attack you. It's scary. And when you're talking about MVPs, I get the whole Cam argument, but Carson Palmer has been so consistently brilliant this year. And their offensive line isn't that much to write home about. He just gets the ball out quick and he gives his wide receivers a chance to make a play on the ball. And Larry Fitzgerald, his rebirth this year has been phenomenal. Floyd has really come into his own and is pretty much the number one receiver on that team now. And Brown's just, he's quicker than a chipmunk on steroids. So this team's going to be so, so dangerous going into the playoffs. I think they've secured the number one seed. Going in, so it's looking like I think they're going to get an easy game in the first round of their first game in the playoffs anyway. And
yeah,
say the Panthers lose next week to the Bucks, which I'm hoping they do, that'll shake their confidence a little bit. You look at this pool of NFC teams. Seahawks lost today to the Rams at home. Packers got blown out. The Vikings, I mean, they're okay at home, but when they come up against real competition, they just flake. Kirk Cousins, I can't see him doing it on the road. So really, if they could, they've just got the Panthers to worry about, and I think they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, I would go with the Cardinals is going. You know, it's going to be a great NFC Championship game if those two teams line up, but I think that I'd have to bet on the Cardinals right now being the NFC representatives in the Super Bowl. But yeah, we'll see. The other side of that, another team that everyone thought was on the rise, but obviously could not handle the mighty Rams today, St. Louis, Seattle, losing at home, Seattle. What did you see, Tim?
I saw a ray of sunshine.
because the Falcons need Seattle to lose out. They also need Minnesota to lose out. And then I think they need like Tennessee or Indianapolis to win. I don't understand how game works. But, I mean, just not a good game by Seattle. St. Louis always plays them tough, though. Like, every year, I feel like I'm constantly surprised. Like, oh, like St. Louis beat Seattle? Like, what? But they do it every year at least once. But going into Seattle and doing it, they just outplayed them. And it was the St. Louis defense, like, you know, getting the scoop and score on the fumble touchdown. That was really, really good. And, you know, overall, I mean, St. Louis just stuck it to them, which was, you know, really nice to see. So, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens, you know, in the coming weeks, but I don't know. You know, Seattle needs to figure something out because, yeah, I think they're currently a lock for the playoffs. Like, I think they're automatically like either in the 5 seed right now. But I mean, the way they're playing, they're not playing like somebody's going to stick around in the playoffs very long.
Yeah, I think Seattle, it's going to be interesting. I think that they're in a good position that they could build and be better next year. But yeah, they need some other pieces to really, you know, they've got to give Russell some more help on that offense. And I'm very curious to see what ends up happening with Marshawn Lynch. I don't think he's going to be back. And I'm curious to see if somebody else gives him a chance. I'd take him, but I don't know where he's going to go. The game that's going on right now.
I don't think you guys
have
money for another old running back.
If we don't get rid of Murray, we don't. New York Giants, Minnesota. That game's coming up tonight. Obviously, the Giants were eliminated last night because we couldn't beat we couldn't beat the Redskins. So the Giants are out of the playoff contention. I think that they're not going to be able to beat Minnesota, especially without Odell Beckham, but we'll see how that goes. A more interesting game is tomorrow night, Cincinnati-Denver. Is there any way Cincinnati can beat Denver? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's good. Like, even without Andy Dalton, like, they're playing all right.
Yeah.
Even with did they win? Didn't they win last week?
Without Andy Dalton? I'm not sure, but I think they
may have. I'm looking it up right now. Like, I feel, yeah, they beat San Francisco. Never mind. but AJ McCarron wasn't bad last week. He was 15 of 21 for 192 yards and a touchdown. Like, Cincinnati has a good enough run game to where legitimately he doesn't have to do much. So, yeah. and they've already clinched the AFC North. They're not going to get a bye week. So, you know, they know that they're getting just the one game at home most likely. So, I mean, realistically, do they need to win out? No. So just make sure that the rest of your team stays healthy. Don't let AJ Green get hurt. You know, don't let Gio Bernard or Jeremy Hill get hurt, and hope your defense can continue to be good because they've been really, really good and they're going to be fine. I mean, the Bengals are 11-3. Like, why are we worried about the Bengals? I just think it's fascinating that the Broncos could either be the number 2 seed in the AFC or not in the playoffs at all. Like, that's awesome. So I'm kind of,
what
I'm
do you
kind
think?
Of hoping for not in the playoffs at all, because the team that drafted Tim Tebow in the first round doesn't deserve to ever make the playoffs.
What do you think, Daniel? Do you think that game?
Well, this is become a really, really interesting game because of the Steelers losing and the Jets winning. The implications are huge because the Bengals, I guess, could get the first seed if they win out. Have they played the Patriots this year?
I'll look. Jeez, make me do everything.
No, they haven't. So I think if the Bengals get the first seed, that completely shakes up the AFC. And I can see this weird scenario where the AFC's, you've got all the talent really in the league seems to be in the AFC this year. And everyone, it's just going to be a big bum fight. And then someone's going to come out of the NFC that no one's really talking about because they're all crap and they're not really winning. And let's face it, none of the wild card teams are going to
be really winning.
You look at the wild card games at the moment. You've got Seahawks, Packers. I can't see either of them actually going on and beating either the Panthers or the Cardinals. Vikings and the Redskins. I mean, why is that even on television?
I legitimately think that the two best teams in the league are in the NFC right now. Arizona and Carolina are the two best teams in the league.
I don't think anyone can compare with Cardinals.
You were sitting there talking earlier. Was it you I can't remember who was talking about, like, Carson Palmer legitimately being an MVP candidate. Yeah. We weren't talking about anybody in the AFC being an MVP candidate.
But I think there's a lot more parity in the AFC. The NFC, the Cardinals, their division's not been that great this year. So they've got an easier ride. And look at our division. The NFC South is horrible. So the Panthers have just been able to creep.
There's two potential playoff teams in the NFC South. Last year we were terrible. This year we're fantastic. We went from last year having all four teams in the first four picks in the draft, it felt like, to this year we had an almost undefeated team and a scrappy Falcons team that's going to scrape their way into the playoffs and then lose miserably in the first round, and Matt Ryan's going to break his neck.
Who are the best teams in the AFC? Who's the best team in the AFC?
I think the Jets.
You just said the Jets are the best team in the AFC. You're drunk.
No. I think the Jets and the. If you're looking at not necessarily the best team, but who would you not want to face right now? I would not want to face the Jets or the Bengals.
I wouldn't want to face the Raiders.
I mean, I have nightmares of Muhammad Wilkerson. Have you seen that
actually,
guy?
No. You know what? I'm going to float this out there. Kansas City. The way they've been playing, I want nothing to do with Kansas City.
But they're they don't score points.
They're on a 9-game winning streak. They don't score points. Here's that 9-game winning streak over the Steelers, 23-13, then 45-10, 29-13, 33-3, 30-22, 34-20, 10-3, 34-14, 17-13. They score points.
Yeah, it's more 30 than I expected.
They're eighth in the league with 26.1 points per game. That's plenty.
Yeah, but they're blowing teams out when they do it. I mean,
I don't care.
Do you trust? Do you trust Alex Smith when the game's on the line?
Yes!
Do you?
I have no reason not to.
How about his entire career in San Francisco?
But look at San Francisco. They're garbage. Like, he's not playing for San Francisco right now. Like, he's playing for Kansas City, and he's playing well in Kansas City.
I'll tell you what, let's actually ask Mark, because he's got the most experience here. Andy Reid is the king of getting to championship games and losing them. So do you actually see him coaching Alex Smith over the top?
I see him coaching him on how to fill a plate at a buffet. I mean, that's something, right? Alex Smith has thrown four interceptions this year. Four. That's
wow,
it.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm with Tim here. I don't think Alex is a joke in that way. I'm with Tim more than it sounds like Daniel, that I think that he's fine. I actually just am not impressed with most of the teams in the AFC. I just don't think there's many teams. You know, like, we beat the Jets and the Pats, and my team sucks. And we beat those two teams easily. And, like, I don't know.
Your team couldn't even beat the Falcons because your kicker can't kick it up down.
You guys handled this. I think the NFC is better than people think. I think the NFC has beaten each other up a lot, but there's just two really good teams in the NFC that have just been dominant, so everyone else looks like trash. But I think a lot of that trash would beat the AFC trash, and there's no dominant team in the AFC. I mean, the fact that we're arguing KC, I definitely don't think KC is going to beat the Cardinals. Like, no way. No, those are two totally different worlds. Unless the KC defense can do what no one seems to be able to do, which is shut down the Cardinals offense. That could happen, because maybe there's better defenses in the AFC this year, which is an insult to Carolina, because I think Carolina has a great defense and the Cardinals have a great defense. Yeah, I don't know. I just, it's going to be interesting. I think the NFC wins the Super Bowl, and I think it'll be either the Cardinals and Panthers. If I had to bet right now, I'd say the Cardinals. And I'm just hoping the Patriots go out early. So I really do hope Cincinnati wins tomorrow and can take that first seed. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I feel like you don't want to go out early. I feel like you want, like, another scandal in the playoffs, so you have something to talk about for the next eight while football's off, and then somebody ends up beating them, like the Falcons make it into the playoffs and then beat the Patriots, and then the Falcons pumped in crowd noise to the Super Bowl stadium, and then there's even more drama. Like, that's what we want. That's what drives listeners to the next Fan Up podcast.
I think we already have our controversy for the offseason. we have our controversy for the offseason. HGH, you taste so good. I mean, like, we know what the offseason is going to be talking about. I was surprised they were running those commercials today. I was like, wow, you guys aren't going to pull these commercials as this controversy is hitting?
No, it's too late at that
we'll
point.
We'll see what happens with Peyton. Yeah, I guess it is probably too late. They've already placed them.
And but awesome, guys. Had it, they weren't even testing for it, so it doesn't matter. Like, what are they going to do?
I think it's going to be – yeah, I think it's going to be
– everybody uses it.
These are interesting arguments. We'll get into this next time. We should close off for today. This was fun. I loved you guys fighting. I need to get more super fans in the same division on every time. That is great. Thank you guys so much for doing that. Awesome show, guys. Anybody who wants to follow us, you can find us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. If you go to Facebook and just type in Next Fan Up, you'll find us easily. You can email us. It's nextfanup@gmail.com, I believe, is our email address. If you have any questions, you want to be a super fan. We're always looking for new super fans. Some of these guys like Tim and Daniel are on show regularly and are great super fans. But we have other super fans who don't show up as much, and we would love to get better super fans. So if you'd like to be on the show, please let us know. Reach out. I really appreciate you guys doing the show today. It was wonderful. And now on to next week.
We're on to Cincinnati.